We've been on a series about God. Well, should be, you know, we're in a church, talk about that kind of thing. And we talked about last week, as Pastor Barry mentioned, the planning God. We're talking about victorious God. And I have a passage of Scripture that is in Joshua 3, verses 9 through 17.
And Joshua said to the people of Israel, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "Here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will, without fail, drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you in the Jordan. Now therefore take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each tribe a man. And when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap." So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the ark were dipped in the brink of the water. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. The waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, and those flowing down towards the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. And the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. This is, to put this in context, this is after the fact that 40 years earlier, God had split the Red Sea open, and they passed through. There was a time before this one where there was a opening up of water, and they passed through the Red Sea on dry ground, and the waters closed up and basically destroyed the Egyptians that were pursuing them. And then they went immediately to the Promised Land, and they set out these 12 spies, and 10 of them came back and said, "We're just grasshoppers in their sight." And two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, "Oh, we're ready to take the land." But the people received the bad report, and therefore, for the 40 days that the spies had gone in to search out the land, God had said, "You're going to wander around in the wilderness a year for each day." So that generation never made it in. It's kind of easy to get the Israelite out of Egypt. It's hard to get the Egypt out of the Israelite. You know what I'm saying here? And so now those have died off, and now this context is that the next generation is standing at the Jordan River and they're ready to cross over. I want to talk to you today about your potential, about your promised land, about what has. Doesn't matter where you're at, where you're from, what phase of life you're in, God is all about, as far as your promised land, God is about your potential. Everybody say the word potential. Let's put up a verse to point that out. We are His workmanship. The word workmanship here is the word poema. It's a work of art. It's like you're a poem in action. So you are a living poem. And it says, you are His workmanship. You are His poem, created in Christ Jesus for good works. What were you created for? Good works. Which God, what did He do? He prepared them what beforehand. He already knew what you were going to be. He knew the potential that He put in you. He knew what you were going to become. And He prepared these works beforehand that you should walk in them. That Jesus Christ doesn't make any junk. You are a person of great potential on the inside of you. It doesn't matter what the devil's lied to you about. It doesn't matter all the mistakes you've made in life. The potential never left you. The promised land of God inside of you is still there. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter how young. We talked last week about God giving Joseph a dream. And Joseph, as a 17-year-old, God took him through the process to bring him to that place where that dream came to pass. And he processed him. He walked him through tests. How many of you know to become, to fulfill the potential that God has in your life, there will be development in your life? How many of you actually went to school? Did you know how you had to like pass one grade to get to the next grade? But you pass a test and go to the next level. You pass a test and go to the next level. You pass a test. Are you there? You pass it. And there are things that we overcome to fulfill the potential that's in us. So I want us to go ahead and look at the first question here. What is God after in your life? What is the promised land? Promised land is this. It's revealing God's glory through your life by fulfilling your potential in partnership with God. Fulfilling your potential. Verse 10 said, and Joshua said, here is how you will know the living God is among you. This is how, I like God. God is so funny like this. He goes, here's how you're going to know. He tells Moses, this is how you're going to know that I'm with you. After you deliver the people and you come back to this mountain, you'll know that I've been with you. Are you, you know, have you ever had, okay, the Lord says, I'm with you. This is how you'll know. Everything that I said is going to come to pass. Can I have like a sign up front? How many of you are like that? How about something other than this challenge to develop by faith? It's kind of scary. I'm the only one in the room that's really gone through it though. Everybody knows, right? You go to fulfill that place. And so it's all about God fulfilling His potential in your life. Now, let's jump right. The big section I want to deal with is this. What enemies must you overcome to enter your promised land and fulfill your potential? He says, basically he says, and here's how you're going to know that the living God is among you, and I love this next line, and that He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites, and the Samsonites. No, that's not in there. But the Samsonites made the luggage so they could all travel. Okay, that's bad. All right. Now, so I went ahead and looked up all these. I said, now, what are these enemies? You know, who are these enemies? You know where Canaan, the word Canaan, it came from the curse that Noah gave to Ham. And he said, it's a curious little curse here, but he basically cursed his fourth son. And he said, Canaan is going to be a servant. He's cursed to be the servant of his brothers. So what's Canaan? What's a Canaanite? A Canaanite is a person who's cursed with always serving somebody else and never getting ahead on their own. And there's an enemy in your life, in my life, that says you're always never going to get ahead and you're always going to be serving somebody else. And he says, God says, I'm going to prevail against the Canaanite in your life and I'm going to turn this curse into a blessing. And you're going to not only, now instead of just being a servant to man, you're going to be a servant of God, and I'm going to prosper you. And so, the curse was poverty. For you to fulfill your potential, guess what God's going to cast out of your life? Poverty. You know what Hittite means? Boy, this one is just right out in your face here. Being depleted of strength by taking away an essential support structure and losing courage and willpower. In essence, it just means fear. Fear and a sense of terror and dread. For you to fulfill your potential, God says, I will without fail overthrow fear in your life. Oh, come on, somebody. I read a book one time that says, everything of blessing is on the other side of fear in your life. Everything. That's what you got to deal with the Hittites, yeah. Right? So poverty and fear. Hivite. The Hivite's the next guy. It really is an interesting thing because it's basically says a tent village type people. And here's what happened. The first Hivite was a Shechem who raped Dinah, the daughter of Jacob and Leah. That's the first mention of a Hivite. And the Hivites were those, they were also from the Gibeonite tribe that tricked Joshua. There's violation and trickery. I'm just going to go ahead and say Hivites represent control. Somebody trying to control your life. Or the weakness inside of your own soul to control. God says, I'm going to deal with that adversary inside of you that will not let over and let God be in charge, but take, you know, are you hearing what I'm saying here? To allow them to deal with the adversary of control in your old soul. Oh, somebody praise the Lord with me here for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Lord says, without fail, I'm going to deal with poverty. Without fail, I'm going to deal with fear. Without fail, I'm going to deal with control. Without fail. This is how you'll know that I am with you, because I'm going to take care of this stuff in your life. And the next one, the Perizzites, basically the mention of them in the Bible, they were villagers also with no boundaries, and they brought strife. And it's mentioned that there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. In that time, the Canaanites and the Perizzites were dwelling in the land. They're all about strife. God's going to deal with strife in your life. Do you have roots of strife, things that could create strife in your life? Strife is going to be dealt with. Praise the Lord. Do you deal with poverty? Deal with fear? Oh my God, deal with control. These are issues, aren't they? Deal with strife. These are adversaries in your the potential of what your life is to be. These are in the way. These are the tribes that are in the way of your life. And God says, I'm going to deal with them. And without fail, says, you will overthrow these. The Girgashites. This is horrendous to me. It means the name means to be dragged away and chewed up. Contention and opposition. You know, I just call it abuse. You got to overcome abuse. The devil wants to cause you to be dragged away and chewed up. And that's the tribe of the Girgashites coming against your soul. Has anybody witnessed to this? How there are things in life that just come against you to drag you away and to chew you up, and you walk out of that and you feel all abused, don't you? God says, I'm in charge, and I'm going to prove to you that I'm with you, and I'm going to, without fail, deal with that in your life. Because it's in the way of the potential that I have for you. Everything that I have for you, this is in the way of it. I remember God healing me of abuse. Oh, it's phenomenal. It was a season. Whew. Oh, let me just illustrate one little how God dealt with a Girgashite. I was at a cleansing stream retreat, and God had already dealt with the physical abuse from my father. But there was a, you know, when abuse starts, it will continue through other means. And I went to a karate class for all these little guys my age, and the teacher was a regular teacher in the school, and he just picked me out of the group, and I thought he was going to instruct me, I thought he was going to teach me to do something, and he just kicked me around in front of everybody, that spirit of abuse. And I remember, Lord says, this is still in the way of the potential I have for you. And I remember that coming up, and all that pain and all that rinsing out of my soul. The Lord identified that horrible event in my life. And I remember just the weeping out of all the pain of that and it leaving. And I could forgive the guy. You know, I did have a thought. It was a fleshly thought. It was an unrenewed corner of my mind. That I thought, I know, I could go down and find out where he lives and like let all the air out of his tires or something. I could do something like that. Have you ever had bitter thoughts of trying to repay somebody for what they've... No, not all. No, I see all the little shined up halos everywhere. But the Lord frees you from that with the depth of His forgiveness. He says, I got to fulfill... You're going to fulfill your potential, and you're going to go in the areas of the promised land that you have. And by the way, I want you to know, this is one picture for them crossing over, going into a new place. But there are seasons in your life where this is closed now, and it's time to go to the next thing. It may not even have been a desert experience. It might just be a new phase. And the Lord's saying, I'm going to take things out that are in the way of the potential for the next season. I'm going to help you. Praise the Lord. The next one is the Amorites. And the Amorites, the word for Amorite is actually, if you just sum it all down, it has to do with being a talker. And if you look up how many times it talks about the different kings of the different tribes, you got 23 references to the Amorite, the king of the Amorites. Everybody say self-exaltation. They talk themselves into self-exaltation. And see, there are some folks that the pride just gets the handle on them. And the Lord says, pride and self-exaltation is in the way of the release of your potential. That if I'm going to reveal my glory through your life, if I'm going to reveal my glory, your pride can't be in the way. There's one that will be exalted through your life, and his name is Jesus Christ. And your partnership with him will release the potential that I have made. He says, I already even thought up all that you're about. I already know you inside and out. You know, I just really grateful for the witness of God's presence in the room. I'm very grateful for the witness of his reassurance that says, you are not without hope and you are not without help. No matter what you're facing, the Lord can topple that thing in your life. He can cause you to overcome it. You're not without him. He's saying, I'm going to show you, I'm with you, I'm going to take you into the promised land, and without fail, I will deal with this. Praise the Lord. And the last one is the Jebusites. And this one, oh my gosh. The definition is to tread down or trample in the sense of ruin or downfall. And I thought about that and thought about that, Father. You know how, you know what, when, if you're not dead and destroyed, you know what that leaves you feeling like? Rejected. I just feel like that's a real big issue in a lot of people's life. Abandonment and rejection. Those are the areas. And now there's so many folks that have, I was left all alone. I was trampled down. I was beat up. I was trampled over. I was just left, chewed up and left for nothing. And the Lord says, I want to. So let's go ahead. In summary, let's go ahead. Those are the fill in the blank there. Just take a moment. The Lord's going to break the curse of poverty. He's going to prosper you under God's blessing. He's going to cause you to overcome the fears through faith in Christ Jesus. You will have nothing to do with these bad relationships. There are certain people that are just control freaks in your life, and the Lord's going to say, I'm going to move you away from this, and I'm going to deal with the issues that make you vulnerable to that. Isn't that good? Some people keep recycling and end up in the same thing over and over because, look, there are some people that can go into the promised land with you, and there's some that can't, and they won't. And there'll come a point where you say, I got to leave this relationship to go on. That's a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom for somebody. There are certain people, when you start to have a passionate pursuit of Jesus Christ in your life, suddenly there's a reorientation to friendships. And friendships can help you grow or cause you to fail. Isn't that right? Bad company corrupts morals, the Bible teaches. And then there's those that bear strife, or there's the strife in your own soul. I remember having a lot of that. Striving and things. He'll help you overcome everything that seeks to drag you away or push you down and heal you of the abuses. He'll overcome the exaltation and pride, overcome rejection. Now, everybody done with that part? Let's go ahead. Number three. What has God given you? What has God given to you to overcome these enemies? Verse 11 says, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you in the Jordan. Go ahead and put that next slide up right quick. Now, this is the ark of the covenant. The ark of the covenant is a box that has these cherubim on the top with the wings spread. And this is what God has given. See, he gave. Now, what's on the inside is what's important. What's on the inside? Does anybody remember what's on the inside? Or what? Some banana bread? What? What'd you say? Samana? What else? What's that? The Ten Commandments? Anything else? Go ahead and put the next slide. You're right. You guys are so good. The Ark of the Covenant. Now, Ten Commandments, the budding rod of Aaron, and the pot of manna. What the Ten Commandments represent, and we're going to fill those in a minute, but that represents the Word of God. The budding rod of Aaron, what happened is they were going to prove who was with the Lord and who wasn't, and all the different, there was this contention going on, and they took this rod, everybody had a rod, and they just laid it down. The next day, this dead stick had budded. Wow. And it was proof it was Aaron's. And so they, now what's that a picture of? It's the picture of the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. And the manna is a picture of, so the ark, and the manna is a picture of the bread. So the ark represents God's presence in our lives through relationship with Jesus Christ. Go ahead, next slide, and then you can fill in the blanks there. Jesus is our ark. He's the Word. Now here's the deal. The Word of God is both in principle form and in words of, you know, words that He speaks directly to us to affirm us along the way. That's the foundation of our character. Everything flows out of the Word of God. So Jesus is the life-giving Word to us. He's also the resurrection life to us. If there's something that, and I love this, I love this. I've seen this happen over and over in our this body of believers here. People will come in and something has died. Some hope, some dream, some aspect of their life has just gone away. And the Lord causes them to be, to that whole thing to be resurrected and that new life to come up. It's the resurrection life of Jesus. And second, and thirdly, I love the bread of life, the manna being the bread of life, because there's a daily nourishment that comes from your walk with the Lord. There's a daily nourishment that comes living in His presence. So the ark represents the presence of God, and they're to walk across the Jordan. And the Lord says, I'm going to defeat all of these enemies in your life, and the resource I'm giving you is myself. I'm going to cause you to have the fullness of my word, the fullness of my resurrection life and power, and the daily nourishment to your own soul, and this is how we're going to do it. How many of you need a little more help from Jesus every day? The Lord is wanting to prepare a people to walk with His glory and release the potential that's inside of you. I remember coming to an end of the self-help books, realizing I need more than me helping myself. And I started listening to the voice, to the whispers of the Holy Spirit, and He already knew who I was. And it wasn't left up to me to figure it out anymore. It was up to me to listen and respond to His Word. How many of you just, you know, let me just say one good practice. Here's one solid good practice every single day. Whether you have time to read the Word of God, whether you have a lot of time to worship or not, to have your heart refreshed in the presence of God every day. In some way, whether through worship, whether through reading the Word, devotional, opening up your heart so that there's a moment where your heart feels the love again, where there's a sense of renewed life in Christ Jesus for you. And I tell you what that'll do, that'll dispel. I was talking with somebody recently about that book, the Shepherd's View of the 23rd Psalm. And there comes a little later in the book, I think it was with you, Jeremy, we're talking about this. There comes a little later in the book, and it talks about, Thou anointest my head with oil. And they make up this ointment for sheep because the sheep have a problem. And it's such an incredible word picture because the sheep have this little mucousy nose, and these things called nose flies can come and land on their nose and actually plant little larvae in their nose, and they can dig up in their head and they get back in their brain and drive them nuts. It's an incredible word picture for how the adversary will plant a thought. And if you see a sheep suffering from a nose fly larvae, he'll be over there beating his head up against a tree trying to get to it on the inside. And God had a way to help the shepherds, had an ointment. And I'm going to pretend you're a sheep there for a minute. And he would take this ointment and they'd just rub it on their, and what, it would keep the flies away, but it felt really good. Oh, the sheep would, they like it, they liked it. They rubbed the ointment on their head. There's something about coming into God's presence on a daily basis and having Him refresh your heart and give you a little rub. And what happens is it causes that ointment, because then, see, the flies go by and they leave. And Beelzebub is known as the Lord of the Flies. and there are trafficking thoughts that come against you that want to. In fact, in each of these tribes, you know, this whole thing about poverty, thoughts about you'll always be in poverty, thoughts about there you'll always have fear and anxiety, thoughts about you're always going to be controlled by people, you're never going to get ahead. All these thoughts, you're always going to have strife in your life. These are the flybys, the fly flying by. You're always going to feel abused or rejected. You're always going to have these woundings. You're always going to have this. And this is a lie because God says, no, I'm with you. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. He says, I'm with you. I'm going to rub this ointment on your head. I'm going to cause you to come out of the frustration of those things. Let's praise the Lord right now. Thank you, Lord. Let's lift your head to the Lord right now. Praise you, Jesus. The Lord wants to lift frustration right off of somebody's heart right now. Right now, in this moment, He's lifting a weight off of somebody's heart. There's this presence in the room, just a powerful, life-giving, weight-lifting presence. God's here to lift burdens from you. As we just kind of recap this, suddenly somebody thought, this is for me. And yes, the Lord's affirming to you, yes, this is for you. I love you with an everlasting love. I'm lifting the burdens of your life. You will not be stuck anymore the way you've been stuck. You're going to come out of those places. He's going to heal and release and deliver and cause your adversaries to be overthrown. Let's praise Him right now. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord, for the weight of your goodness. Praise you, Lord, for the presence, the power of your presence in this place. Hallelujah. 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 Let's worship Him. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's don't run by this. Let's let the Lord do the ministry. The Lord wants, you've had a prayer time, but the Lord says, I'm just taking stuff away right now. I'm lifted. There's somebody, the abuse is leaving you right now. You've been under the anguish of something, and the Lord says, today I'm not waiting. I'm the healer. I'm come to heal. Expose that part of your heart and let the Lord just touch you right there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's hope in the Lord. There's help in the Lord. You're the apple of His eye. He's numbered the sparrow. He knows when every sparrow falls. He's numbered the hairs on your head. He knows every issue of your heart. He knows what you have faced and where you have failed before, and He knows how to overthrow that and cause you to come into the full potential of what He's called you to be. He's healing you. He's releasing you. He's saying, come out of the prison cell, my daughter. Come out of the prison cell, my son. You're not going to be in there. We have bigger things to do. There's a promised land for you. There's a promised land for your soul in partnership with the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And if you're here today, you're probably already fulfilling number 4. Hallelujah. We're going to move on to this. And what does God require of you to enter the promised land of your potential? What does He require? What does He require of you? Verse 13 says, when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. What's the Lord saying? Let's put it up. Lord, step out in faith and get your feet wet. Step out in faith. Is the Lord resurrecting a lost dream? I was just talking to John there. Well, I had a witness there. Thank you, Lord. Whew. Some things we just go by and we go on in life. God says, no, I wanted that to happen. Sometimes we get frustrated about our own potential and the lack, our lacks and the things that we don't have it together on. Is that right? Oh man, let's just lift the Lord. Do more, Lord. Do more, Lord. Do more, Lord. We don't want to be wandering around in the wilderness. We want to be stepping into the fullness of all your potential. Thank you for everything that you do in people's lives to cause us to fulfill. Go ahead. To fulfill our potential and overcome our enemies and abide in you and step out. We thank you for that. Would you be so kind as to place your hand on your heart there? Father God, I lift every soul in here to you right now. I just ask that there would come great favor. Right now, Mary comes to mind and she said, "So be it according to your word," when she spoke to Gabriel. And there was something that was conceived in her that day, and it was the Messiah. And Jesus meant to come to change the world because he had agreement. Just go ahead and say, "So be it according to your word, Lord. So be it according to your word." Let the potential, that seed of potential that you have in my life, to be released, and let's grow in it. Let's grow it. Let's grow it. Let's grow it. Let's grow it. Let's get pregnant with the promise. Let's get pregnant with the promise. Let it expand us. Let the purpose of the Lord manifest. The Lord wants His love poured out on our town. He wants people to know the depth of His love and grace. And so He's raising up a people that will know and be carriers, because your potential is being released in who Jesus is. Let's lift our heads and praise Him some more, guys. Thank you, Lord. 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 Yeah. Good to bless be God. Praise you, Lord. Just a chorus. Our help comes in the name of this one, Almighty God, our Lord, our Christ. When waters surge and overwhelm, oh, our help comes from Him again. Our help comes in the name of this one, Almighty God, our Lord, our Christ. When waters surge and overwhelm, our help comes from Him. As pastors, come on up here. We're going to dismiss here, and we're going to invite you, if there's just another point of prayer needed. We want this to be a ministry time. Isn't the Lord good? I'm so glad I came today. I got my happy pants on. I'm thrilled at what Jesus is doing. He's whispered some stuff in my soul about the nature of His glory that's going to be released when we get over here. I'm so excited. He's starting to build the momentum now. Are you happy? Listen, guys, when you come in here, come expecting Jesus to touch your life. There's an old scripture. I don't remember where it is exactly. I think it's Isaiah. It says, when you enter the south exit, go out the north exit, or something like that. When you enter the east exit, go out the west. And the point is, don't leave the same way you came. When you walk into the house of God, let Jesus transact something to take you further along. There's something really about that abuse thing. The Lord's released an anointing to deal with abuse. That one jumped. That one jumped out. The rest of them are there, but the Lord's healing. He's released a specific anointing in the room to heal from abuses. So let's go ahead and I want to lead you in a prayer, and then you guys can come up here. Let's just lift our heads. Say, Father God, I forgive all who have harmed me. I submit my heart to the healing grace of Jesus Christ. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that your forgiveness would flow through me to all who have hurt me. I forgive all abuser, all abuse, in the name of Jesus. And I stop partnering with being a victim. I'm a victor in Christ Jesus. I serve a victorious God. And I rise up this morning and I put this to death. This is broken before me. Let's praise the Lord now. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand together. Stand together and praise Him. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Our help comes in the name of this one, Almighty God, our Lord, our Christ. When waters surge and overwhelm, our help comes from Him. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed. If you need further prayer, come on up here. Praise the Lord.